This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hide and seek. Perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek with James and Avi for this Thursday evening. And Avi, it is that time of year again.
Yes, it's time when you start thinking about whether pageantry is in your future.
That's right. Get out your leather gear because it is time for the Lead Leatherman 2014. And on the line with us this evening is Brett from the Lead. Good evening. Evening, how
hey guys, come on, God, it's not on yet, is it?
Well,
I've got to get through southern hibernation first.
Well, yes, we're getting people, you know, amped up and ready to prepare themselves. You know, it's like a pre-up.
Yeah. Nice.
So we're back for 2014.
We certainly are. What does that mean, though?
Well, I was going to ask, because you guys took a break in 2013.
Did I do your segue? Was that meant to be your thing? But
no, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm so tired right now.
Are the bears taking it out of you, Brett?
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's unbearable.
God.
No, we did take a break in 2013 where we thought after 5 years and five winners that it was time to sort of do a bit of a retrospective thing and just get them all up on stage for a bit of more of a fun night. So we did that last year, which was great. During AWOL, and then now it's time to get serious again, get number six on board to follow on from Ben Reismuller. And it should be fun. We've got no idea of what we've got, a few ideas of the sorts of contestants we're going to get, but it'll be interesting.
Now, as you said, Lead Leatherman's been going for a while. You've had five Lead Leatherman already, but you've had, you know, this has been going on for quite a number of years.
Oh, yeah, it has, yeah. Lead Leatherman, Lead Leatherman itself.
Yeah.
We've done five of the actual competitions to find a winner. There was always other formats as well, and who sent people on to Chicago for International Mr. Leather. Then, of course, you had your Laurie Lanes and others who have, and I believe David Allen might have gone over to judge as well.
Yeah.
So the Leads had some pretty good representation over there.
So what is it? But I mean,
the comp, thankfully, is not about comp is really very much a local.
Well, I was going to ask you, Brett, what is the Lead Leatherman to the Lead? Why do you do this?
The Lead Leatherman, it came about, I have to pretty much give full props to Paul and Richard from Manhouse. They are the ones, it came about many years ago when there was a Melbourne Leather Pride on and there was going to be an Australian competition. And Paul and Richard really helped us get that together. And they were our major sponsors at the time of doing a Lead Leatherman, and they're pretty much our co-producers now of Lead Leatherman. So it should almost be Lead Manhouse Man.
That's a bit unwieldy for a sash.
We might be able to play around with those words a bit more. I'll have to run that by Richard and Paul.
I was going to say, sash, you have to have a double sash.
Yeah, but Manhouse Man, actually.
House Man is a whole different thing.
Yeah, there needs to be a workshop on this one. I'll pick out the butcher's paper.
Get a committee.
Yeah. So pretty much those boys really, the first year it was pretty much, they were, sponsoring us and giving us most of the advice. And then it was pretty much, look, these guys, they just put just as much effort into it. They really are, they were our rock of knowledge as far as, rock of knowledge? Can I do that? I am tired.
Sure.
Thanks. as far as knowing anything leather, because Mark and I, at the time, you bugger all about
leather. I still find it hilarious that you and Mark are probably the most vanilla couple I've ever met.
I've actually said that to you before, haven't I?
So yes.
I've allowed you to say that, yeah.
I know. And you guys run probably the most, certainly in the gay community in Melbourne, some of the biggest fetish parties in Melbourne, which I find hilarious.
But I think we've sort of worked out, that you don't have to be, there's all sorts of promoters of parties and things out there, or people who do things and they don't necessarily have to, people who run charities, they don't have to be a underprivileged themselves.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think, oh God, that was a vague reference.
Yeah, you might want to rethink that in the cold light of day. I mean, there,
you know, we don't have to be leathermen to run great leather parties.
Absolutely.
And especially when we have the people that we do to refer to, like Paul and Richard, and you know, our staff and all that sort of thing. So, you know, a lot of our customers give us a lot of great input as well. So it's actually pretty easy. and that's why I'm in the lead, is, you know, because it's the bear thing as well, and you know, we do just more alternative things too. So.
Now, I found something that's really kind of pricked my ears, and
no photos yet.
That in 2009, Peter Fitzgerald, who won the Lead Leatherman, then it says here that Peter took a grassroots approach to promoting the local leather scene and earned him a few new friends and admirers. That sounds a little.
He got a few roots.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Did you want me to break that down?
Yeah, I did, and you kind of just did it.
Yeah. Okay. Did you want to drag that one out a bit longer? That's what happened. That's the beauty of it, is just seeing all five guys, how they, you know, they've all got their great qualities. I can probably say it because there's going to be too many Americans, but we found from seeing the American competitions, it's all very about the look. It's about the being the perfect physique and stuff.
Yeah.
And our guys all had their own look, their own persona, age differences and everything, and, you know, different backgrounds and things. And it was so good to see the way they reacted with people each year when they were fundraising and doing all that sort of stuff. So.
And you've had, and something to that you realise when you look at the history of the Laird Leatherman, you've had five very different Laird Leatherman.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and that was particularly obvious in 2013 when you had sort of your all-stars event.
Yeah. We had that, you know, you could see who was more outgoing and who was more reserved and all that sort of thing. It was. And that's what makes it, you know, a beauty contest or anything like that.
Well.
That's just the third segment.
But having said that, you know, speaking of beauty contests and pageantry, controversial decision this year.
Yes.
Part three has, you know, it came back under this public requirement that you restore the fantasy section.
I think we did it in Mel's year, first year. Maybe possibly in Peter's we didn't. But I know that by the time Luke's came along, it was back in.
And certainly it was by the time I got on stage.
Yeah. And when you're up with Ben and them.
Did you have to do the talent thing?
No.
It was the fact that, you know, it's also, the night is also about entertainment as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, this would actually get me there.
You see, just thinking, if only that you guys had done the talent section in 2012, because my heels would have bloody won that one. No, thank you very much.
No, maybe a high kick as well. But you know what? It's spot on. We actually, the year, I think it was only one year that we didn't do it.
Yeah.
Because we thought, and we maybe took things a bit too seriously. And we got a lot of feedback from people saying, well, but that was such a fun part of it. And you can see that it's similar with the Bear Comp as well. They do the fantasy segment. But what we found is fantasy is such a, it's not right to call it a fantasy thing, because people's fantasies and need to stay in their head or well, they do come true as well, but it's not something you do on stage, because if you're saying to a leader man, they shouldn't need to have to perform something on stage that they're not comfortable with, but they just want to keep to the bedroom or whatever. So yeah. I think a lot of guys found it really hard, and so therefore performances could be a bit stilted, a bit cardboard, sort of going, I'm trying to convey that this is my fantasy, but it's hard to sort of put it into real life. So where now you can bring out your flute. Skin flute.
Band camp.
Talent sounds so weird. I mean, but we're calling it Got Talent because it's a bit cheesy. It's a take on all those reality shows. But yeah, we're basically, it could be public speaking, it could be storytelling, it could be, I don't know, Arby's high kicks, it could be anything. But whatever you think you're best at, because that's probably what is best to ask of them. You know, instead of, we have to ask you all to make up. Some guys said they didn't even actually have fantasies they felt they could, you know, do on a stage.
Well, yeah.
That's not surprising.
And I have to say, as somebody who had to come up with a fantasy, it was a little intimidating.
Oh, come on.
No, but what you can do on stage in 2 minutes of audio.
I guess you can't.
Because, you know, some of my fantasies can't be done extemporaneously. I need a good run-up to them. You know, you need 30 minutes of hard preparation prior to this shit. You know, these are not things that you can start, finish.
They're not 2 minute activities.
No,
you know?
There's nothing you can do a dramatic twist in. And it, you know,
I'm thinking ping pong balls.
Well, close. But it does sort of, as you say, Brett, it opens up the field to people who are less comfortable being overtly sexual. Because the fantasy was always implied sexuality, if you like.
It can be funny as well. It can be quite, you can have a serious talent. I mean, top of my head, I can't think of anything right now.
What are some examples you've had in the past?
Of fantasies?
Yeah.
It's generally, well, actually, you know what? It usually involves three guys. It usually is a guy, generally, I think Avi should be able to correct me here, but it's usually the dude is there and they're doing something with, we've had ironing.
Yes.
Through to they're in a locker room or a Club 80 type sort of situation, and then another one comes along because of what they're wearing, a particular thing that's part of the fantasy, and then maybe another one will come along.
Okay, so other people can be involved in this.
Yeah.
You
get
cast with the new improved got talent section. Yes, they still can. I think we might have to have a limit of maybe 20 people.
I still think, you know, even though I was only first princess in 2012, I still think my fantasy section has to take the cake for being possibly the most unique thing ever to happen on the Laird stage.
Yeah.
Well, what was it?
I did leather drag.
Really?
I did Big Spender in leather and heels.
Wow.
And you know what? It was good to see that, because it's not you. Again, it was saying that the Laird doesn't have to be about hyper-masculinity. Mm.
What are you saying, Brett?
Hang on, you said drag, Arby. Come on.
I said leather drag. That's true.
Yeah, okay.
I was in a corset other things.
Instead,
so
that we don't, the Laird. Yeah, we don't do drag shows and all that sort of thing, but it doesn't mean that, it's a fine line. I can't even, at the moment.
It needs to be a masculine drag show if you're going to do it.
True.
Mask drag, okay. Isn't that what the girls do? Isn't that drag king? Oh, I don't know.
So how many have you had any submissions of interest yet?
400
people are entering.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. We're start pushing it. We've got our posters up, which is at Laird. If you're coming to Spit and Polish tonight, you'll see the new poster.
Awesome.
With former Laird Leatherman. No, outgoing Laird Leatherman. Yeah, Ben Eichmuller. We're just starting to push that now. And so we really are, you know, people can email us if they've got questions. You can actually go to our website. You can check things out on there. And then we even have the contestant form online, which is all about the competition. So it's all the details, everything you need to know about the comp, about the previous winners, all that sort of stuff is on a downloadable PDF. So,
and that's all at lairdhotel.com?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, if you're only listening now and you just think, it doesn't matter what age you are, except unless you're over 18 and young enough to get on the stage,
uh-huh.
Or to not have to have assistance getting up on the stage. Hang on, that's bad, isn't it?
Anyway, Brett, no. We're going to let you go, because I think you need to go to bed.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go downstairs and work now. But thank you very much, boys.
Anytime, Brett.
Thank you. That was Brett from The Laird talking all things Laird Leatherman. If you want more information, download your membership form. Download your sign-up sheet from lairdhotel.com.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.